Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
That's right. No Schwenk this week, everybody. Now we do what we want. This is Zardcast coming to you Monday night. You're probably listening Tuesday, I would imagine. You're used to hearing Schwenk in this station, kind of doing the intro. Instead, you got me, your boy Gary Spice, with me, directly across from me. I've got David. How you doing, David?
That was kind of loud. I'm pretty good. I'm excited. No Schwenk. Now we can really do whatever we want here. I think we both kind of suspected he was holding us back a little bit, and we can sort of spread our wings here and see what happens.
I've really always felt, you know, just a little, just like when we kind of do our thing, I just always felt this little tug, you know, like he was trying to reel me in.
And I don't know if it's that he's afraid or that he just doesn't want to be, you know, kind of overshadowed, but now we don't have to deal with that anymore.
And you know why? It's because I'll let a little Disney character explain it. I got no strings to hold me down, to make me fret or make me frown. I hit strings. Our Geppetto is in Japan right now. And we can do what we want.
Do you want to talk about why he's in Japan?
We should definitely talk about why he's in Japan.
So, for you listeners who don't know, I don't know if you follow his personal Twitter. Schwenk is a big anime guy, so he's at an anime convention in Japan for the next week.
Yeah, and what's his show? He likes Cowboy Bebop. Is that it?
He does, but I think he's primarily cosplaying Sailor Moon this week.
Oh man.
So, you know, we used to live together, he and I, and the very first day we moved in together, I came home from work, and he's in the living room in the Sailor Moon costume, and I walk in, and you would think he would be embarrassed by that, but he just did, like, that Japanese schoolgirl, like, dee, and ran back into his room.
That's good. He was dedicated to the character.
And then he did it every day for as long as we lived together. So after 3 years, I was like, I'm out. I can't do this anymore.
I get that. Well, we don't need to talk about him anymore. Let's do our thing.
Let's do it.
All right. So there's only been two games since we last podded. First one was a loss to the Raptors. They lost 106-114. Wall, solid stat line, 30 points, 7 assists, 8 rebounds, but DeMar DeRozan had 32. I can't believe it was only 32. It felt like 60. They also had Norman Powell go for 21 points, and he was a plus 19 in the game.
That was a pretty demoralizing game. Could have put a lot of space between us and the Raptors, and really just came out and kind of pooped the bed.
That game was really upsetting. Pretty much start to finish, they came out so poorly and then got it to be, you know, relatively close and more competitive, and then just didn't have enough. DeRozan, I really am shocked to find out he only had 32. He was ridiculous.
Yeah, especially, I mean, he hit three threes. If DeRozan's hitting threes on you, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, and we were kind of going hard on him on Twitter for flopping. He doesn't really flop. He was just getting crazy calls.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make it like any less frustrating that he—that's his bit—that he'll, you know, pump fake a bunch of times, get you in there, and
Yeah, he definitely does the sometimes where he's not looking to score. He's just looking for the call, which is always annoying. I think I just saw Tyreek Evans do it in this game that's on the TV to my right. But yeah, it was pretty maddening how the shots he was making were so hard. And then Norman Powell, after the game they blew out the Raptors, the first game against the Raptors, I kept thinking, I couldn't believe Norman Powell doesn't get more minutes.
Yeah.
Because he was playing really well in that game, and then he came out. I guess the Raptors coaches saw that too, because he came out and just throttled the Wizards.
Yeah, and I'd been hearing about Norman Powell all year, like, this guy is so good. But I didn't know for sure if it was just like how Wizards fans talk about Kelly Oubre, like he's actually really good when he's not like a real positive player most of the time. But he really, that dunk that he had at the end, that was a backbreaker.
He was really quick and athletic. Yeah, I had the same kind of notions about him. I kept hearing anytime there were, you know, fake trades going around, trade talks and stuff, I would hear people talking about him as a really valuable piece they could add in, and thinking to myself, really? Norm, I never even heard of the guy. I barely heard of him. Why is he a big piece they can add? But now I get it a little bit.
Yep. And the first Brandon Jennings game, not great. Not a great start for Brandon Jennings.
Yeah, I don't think watching the game last night, that he didn't score his first point with the Wizards till into the fourth quarter, I think, of game two.
He was not looking to score, and he was throwing some really unproductive passes.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about him yet, just because the baseline for what he has to achieve to be an upgrade over Trey Burke is so low that I'm not worried about it. It would be awesome to be seeing more, but...
Yeah, I think we all kind of hyped ourselves up, like, because it is a good signing just because he's so much better than Trey Burke, but he's still, like, a bad player. He's not...
Yeah. Do you know he was the number one ranked player in his high school class? In the whole country.
He's so little. I'm surprised that he... He scored 55 points in a game his rookie year, didn't he?
Yeah, in, like, his fifth game or something. It was, like... November 9th or something like that.
Peaked early.
Yeah, very early. Possibly playing in Italy, he peaked. Is that where he played?
Is that what he did? He didn't go to college.
Yeah, he did. He was the first to do that, or first high-profile one anyway.
What an interesting career, and now he's a backup.
Yeah.
But I think there was that stat that the Wizards are the only team with both point guards averaging... I don't know, some amount of assists. He is a good passer, so hopefully he can just find guys open shots and not take a bunch of bad shots himself.
That would be pretty good. Wall stat line, I think, overstates his game. He didn't play particularly well. He had, 37-8, but I think the shooting line was pretty brickish. I don't have it in front of me.
It was, and I think he also turned the ball over a lot. Obviously, 37-8 is great, but I didn't come away from that either thinking he had a great game.
Yeah, really, just I would say only Beal really had a good game in that game. I had the line up in front of me earlier, and it was Beal had something like 27, and Wall had those 30, and I don't know if anyone even really had much contributions other than that.
Beal really doesn't have bad games anymore. I mean, he is consistently, even if he's not shooting well, not getting to the line, he's still going to score 20 points. Let's see. Yeah, Wall was 9 of 24. He only had one turnover, actually. That's pretty good. What really killed us here was, of course, the bench. Satoransky minus 9 was the best bench player. And no Jason Smith.
No Jason Smith last night either.
Troubling.
It is troubling. And they're even Phil and Buck were pointing that out last night. They were bringing up some stats. And in games he plays at least 20 minutes, they're, I think, 12-0 or 8-0. I don't remember. I think it was 8-0. And then in games he plays at least 18 minutes or something, they were 12-2. I think that's what it was. That could be inflated if he gets garbage minutes and good wins, but they don't have that many blowout wins, so I don't think it's that inflated.
And I understand you're trying to work Mahinmi back. You've got some versatility now with Bogdanović and Oubre, both who can, I think, have seen some time at the four. But you got to play him. He just does good stuff. He makes good things happen whenever he's on the court, which is a really crazy thing to say considering where he started at the beginning of the year. But he makes jumpers. He blocks shots. Got to play him.
Agreed. Speaking of got to play, I have some games for you on tonight's episode.
Okay.
And the first one we're going to play is going to just challenge your knowledge about this Wizards team. And it's called Who's That Wizard?
Okay.
Who's that lady?
Who's that wizard?
Beautiful lady.
Who's that wizard?
Who's that lady? Who's that lady? That real, real, real fine lady. Beautiful
lady. That was smooth.
Try to be smooth. All right. So that would give too much away. All right. I'm just going to rattle off some factoids, and you tell me the wizard I'm talking about.
Okay.
This wizard shares a birthday with Keanu Reeves, Salma Hayek, Cat Williams, and Terry Bradshaw.
Can you tell me the birthday?
I could have if I had typed it when I initially did this. At this point, I cannot.
Fair. Salma Hayek, Terry Bradshaw. Who else?
Keanu Reeves and Cat Williams.
I'm going to go with Kelly Oubre Jr.
Ooh, I'm sorry. He also shares a birthday with Marcus Morris. The correct answer was Markieff Morris.
Markieff Morris.
All right.
That one was easy. I should have known that.
I know. That. If you didn't get that one, then these other ones are going to be tough. How about the father, three uncles, and multiple cousins of this wizard have all won state championships and earned all-state honors at the same high school in Missouri attended by the player in question?
Otto Porter.
Correct.
Yes.
Nailed it. Nicely done.
And that one was a little bit tricky because Beal, also from Missouri, also has an athletic family, I believe. They're like bodybuilders or something, aren't they, his brothers?
I don't know if they're bodybuilders, but I did put that Missouri part in there to throw you off the trail.
Couldn't get me.
That's pretty good. All right, let's hop around here. This wizard was drafted 28th overall, despite not being listed amongst the 128 players in the NBA's official draft guide that year.
Gotta be Bogdanović.
Incorrect.
Oh.
It was a foreigner. It was Jan Mahimi.
Oh.
All right, here's a fun one. This wizard often quotes movies during pregame huddles to hype up the team, but was once said to have misquoted Training Day, yelling, "King Kong ain't shit on me."
That sounds like Gortat.
Yeah, that's Gortat.
That definitely seems like maybe a mistranslation or something that he...
he just... The dubbed version had it that way. let's go with this next one. This Wizards local youth basketball league had to change its rules by the time he was 5 to prevent him from stealing the ball from the other team too frequently.
John Wall.
No.
Ooh.
Understand the guess, but it's actually Trey Burke.
Trey Burke. And then he just never got any bigger.
Yeah, he needed the rules to stay the same. Okay. This wizard is the son of Bobby and Besta and has 4 brothers, Brandon, Bruce, Byron, and Brian.
Bradley Beal?
Correct. Yeah, you seemed to already have a handle on his family coming into the game.
Yeah, that is doesn't sound great on my part, but I think we should just move past that.
We can do that. Let's move on to this next one. This wizard, specifically his relationship with a former coach, was the subject of the song Chart Junk by indie rock band Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks in 2014.
What?
I'll repeat it one time. This wizard, specifically his relationship with a former coach, was the subject of the song Chart Junk by indie rock band Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks in 2014.
Chart Junk. The Jicks. I just really don't know. I'm going to go with Brandon Jennings.
Nailed it.
Really?
Nice.
What is the backstory of that?
That beats me. I don't know. This wizard was so spooked by the movie Texas Chainsaw Massacre as a child that he had to sleep in his mother's bed after viewing.
Jason Smith.
That was John Wall.
Really?
Everybody's favorite John Wall. all right, only got a couple more of these. This wizard was born 5 days before the release of the movie Jumanji.
Sheesh. Sheldon Mack?
Oubre.
Oubre, really?
Kelly Oubre, young Kelly Oubre.
Before Jumanji?
Just before Jumanji, yes.
That's pretty young.
All right, what do I got left? Who did I miss? Oh, I just got one more. No, two more. This wizard has played for 9 different teams in his professional career.
Brandon Jennings? I don't.
That's Booyah Bogdanovich.
9 teams?
Yeah, not all in the NBA.
Oh, man.
Got you with a trick question there.
Oh, my God.
Last one. When asked by Truth About It's Kyle, I don't know how to spell it, say his last name, Weedy, how his game meshes with John Wall, this wizard responded, trying to stay out of his way, he is super fast.
Mahin me.
That was Jason Smith.
And
that was it for Who's That Wizard?
What did I get, 2?
Maybe, I don't know. You got Beal, Otto, Jennings, and Gortat.
If you think I'm a big idiot and you would have gotten more of those, feel free to be a dick about it on Twitter.
All right, move along?
Yeah.
All right, so then after that Raptors loss, they played last night, probably 2 nights ago to the listener, in a very tight one with the Magic. They win 115 to 114. Brad Beal, another solid game with 32 points. But I think the story of the game was probably Booyah Bogdanovich.
It was pretty amazing. The game was such a piece of poop throughout, and then he just, what do you have, 27 points?
27, 15 in the fourth. I think he had 8 threes. Tied his career high with that.
He must be so happy to not be on the Nets anymore.
Yeah. He's got to be feeling good.
Let's see. So, and that's his, he had 27 the first Raptors game, too.
Sounds right.
Let's see. So, yeah, did you think, so you watched this game on delay, correct?
Yes.
I was kind of losing it. I didn't have anyone to talk to. You weren't watching it. I couldn't spoil you. Schwenk was at his convention. When you watch something like that on delay, you weren't at all tempted to be like, am I just, you know, when they're down 17, are you like, am I really going to waste the next hour and a half of my time? You weren't tempted to look?
I wasn't last night. I have been in the past when that sort of thing goes on. I do watch a lot of games on delay. A lot of times I get home from work at like 9 or 10. But last night that urge didn't really come over me. I don't know if I kept feeling fairly confident that they were going to come back, even though nothing they were doing gave me any right to be.
Right.
And like you said, that game was really ugly. It was incredibly frustrating in almost every facet except for Brad and then Bogdan saving the game.
And the Magic are so bad offensively, and it's not like just one guy had a freak game and was killing us. It was, they had 7 guys in double figures.
Yeah.
7 just terrible offensive players. Terrence Ross was probably like the the biggest. He had 20 points. And I mean, he can get hot. Obviously, he had like a 51-point game. But other than that, Aaron Gordon, Bismack Biyombo was killing us.
Bismack. They didn't even have Vucevic.
Yeah. Fournier, Elfrid Payton, he had his career high against us earlier this year. He was making a bunch of tough layups that he has no business making. DJ Augustine was hitting some threes. Of course, Jeff Green was going to be an asshole and hit a lot of shots.
I was pretty blown away to find out DJ Augustine has been in the league for 9 years.
Really?
That was a shock to hear during the broadcast last night.
Was he? He's from Texas?
Yeah.
Was he there when LaMarcus Aldridge was there?
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like he's... I still would think of him as like a young player. Maybe because he just never like progressed to be like that impactful of an NBA player. I kind of think of him as like a youngish guy.
He is 29.
Aldridge is a little older than that. They might have crossed paths, though.
No way of knowing, really.
Yeah. If anyone out there wants to look that up and tweet it at us, we'd be pumped that you're interacting, although probably wouldn't care too much about the answer.
Yeah, you'd probably have to go to the library or something to figure that out, but...
Yeah, what's the... you have to pull out the cards, go to the Texas section.
You might, yeah.
What else was going on in that game? Even the ending, like, it came down to it, really. Boyan, I think him and Brad had their last 18 points.
That definitely sounds about right. Wall had 19 and 10, but he wasn't super involved, I don't think.
Right.
He had a couple, or one block at the end. He took a lot of bad jumpers. He took one of the worst last shots I've ever seen. When he was clearly trying to run the clock out, but then he ended up with like a turnaround push shot.
Oh, yeah.
With,
yeah,
I think,
yeah,
his,
yeah,
left hand.
Yeah. That one was real bad. And everyone thought he traveled on it, too.
It was,
everyone on the floor thought he traveled.
It was bad. If we had lost on that, I think John would have really gotten some shit for it.
Yeah, probably. I don't really know. But, yeah, it was basically a frustrating game that came down to one of the new guys coming through and winning the game for him. So that's a win is a win pretty much all the time. And when it's coming pretty much right on the back of the trade deadline acquisition, that's a good feeling.
And really, I think other than Beal and obviously Bogdanovich, the third biggest part in that comeback was Brandon Jennings. I think he had 5 of the assists to Boyan. So if those two can work together, sort of replicate that John Wall auto dynamic with the bench unit, that would be great.
Yeah, that would be spectacular.
And so it put us a full game up on the Raptors, I think, because they lost the night before.
I believe you're right.
And then immediately after that, you know, I flip over to the Celtics-Suns game. Celtics are up 4, I think, with 2 minutes left. Proceed to totally blow the game. Isaiah Thomas misses a free throw, turns the ball over. Tyler Ulis hits the jumper to beat the Celtics. So they're back to 2 games ahead of us. They're about to play the Clippers tonight.
Oh, yeah, I saw the TNT game. Yeah, that could easily... They're 2 ahead now?
Mm-hmm.
Could be 1.5 by the end of the night.
Yeah, and then we play...
I think the Cavs probably ended up losing. They were down by 18 to the Heat earlier.
Really?
I don't know what ended up with that, but that was like at the end of the third, too.
Let's see. Yes, they did.
The Waiters had 24 in the first half in that game.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know much about anything after that, but he had 24 in the first half.
Finished with 29. So
his second half, less productive.
A little bit, yeah.
All right, well, you ready for game number 2?
I'm ready. I'll be better at this one.
All right. Game number two is less of a game, I guess. it harkens back to a discussion we had several weeks ago.
Okay.
You made the claim that 90% of TV shows... are going to at some point. I think, I don't remember what show we were talking about. Oh, Young Pope.
Yes.
How they always say Young Pope. He's such a young pope. And I was saying, I think all shows should have to do that. You said you think 90% of them do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think that's the case. I'll give you a chance to walk that back slightly if you want, or you can stick with 90. Schwenk said 40, which seems way too low. I would think, I know it's like the lamest cigar in the middle, but 70 does seem about right to me.
Well, it sounds like you've done some research, so it feels...
At this point, yeah, I shouldn't be counting. But I didn't really do research. I just, what I've done is I printed a list of Rolling Stone's top 60 TV shows of all time.
Okay.
And then I figured we don't have to do all 60. We can chop that to like 30.
Okay.
And then okay. See how many we think wouldn't do it.
Okay.
All right. And this game's called Say the Name.
Dark Child 99.
Say my name, say my name. No one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. You ain't running game. Say my name, say my name. You acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby. Why the sudden change?
All right. So we're ready to go for this. Let's start at number 30. I guess just keep track of the ones that we say are no good.
Okay.
All right, 30. The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. I would say probably.
Yeah, they definitely say that.
Yeah. Number 29, Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Probably not.
I think probably not.
Okay.
28, The X-Files. 100%. Because that's what the department's called, they say it all the time.
Yes.
27, Arrested Development.
Yes, they say that frequently.
Really?
They say it at the start of, like, almost every episode.
Is it part of the intro, or do they say it in the show?
You think that's a difference?
I mean, if the intro, I don't think that should count. That's, like, the same as the theme song. Although their intro is different because they kind of, it's like they set it up a little bit, right? No, they don't. It's just this is the story of...
Right.
Yeah. I don't think that would count.
Okay.
After that, where are we at? 26, Friends.
For sure they say Friends.
I think you get Friends. 25 is Veep. I think you probably get Veep. 24 is really a toss-up. Friday Night Lights.
Yes, they definitely say it. Like the radio guy that does the voiceover, I'm sure he says it at some point. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that one, they say it.
Okay. 23, Deadwood.
Yes.
Of course, name of the town. 22, Louie.
Yes.
Of course, name of Louie. 21, The Office.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go back to The Office. I'm sure they said something like that. 20 is Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the name of the bar, and they probably toast at some point. 19, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I would say it's unlikely.
Yeah, probably not.
18, this one I'm not sure about. Star Trek? I would suspect no.
At the end of one of the episodes, William Shatner goes, "And this truly was a Star Trek."
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I want in every show. I want it to be real forced.
No, I would bet they don't say it.
All right. 17, I know nothing about this show. Maybe it's the name of the town, in which case it would be a yes. Maybe you know more. Twin Peaks?
It is the name of the town.
So that's got to be in there.
Yeah.
16, MASH. They're the MASH unit, so they got to say that. 15, The West Wing.
Yes.
Definitely say it. 14, The Larry Sanders Show.
Now, I've never seen The Larry Sanders Show, but it's about a show that they're making, right? Or is that not right?
It's, I don't know. I've never seen it either, but it's a, any like talk show like that, they're going to do it. Because even just throughout the show, you know, we'll be back with more.
Oh, it's a talk show? I thought it was a sitcom.
Maybe. I don't know.
We're going to have to leave this one a toss up, I think.
We can, all right, let's add in number 31.
Okay.
31, oh, you lucky dog. 31 is Sesame Street. So that's a yes. 13, Late Night with David Letterman.
Yep.
Definitely. 12, and this is a really perfect one, Game of Thrones. they yeah, do it.
They do.
And it's in a when they play the Game of Thrones.
Right. And they practically have the camera spinning around like the music gets real loud. Yeah.
11 Freaks and Geeks? I don't think so. They definitely call people freaks and geeks, but I don't think they ever say, "Boy, they were a bunch of freaks and geeks."
I kind of think they might, but I would go on your side. They probably don't.
10, we've got The Daily Show.
Yep.
9, we've got All in the Family.
I have no idea.
I don't really either. It seems unlikely, but I don't know. It could.
Yeah, I doubt they.
8, you got Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
It's in every monologue. 7, you have The Twilight Zone.
Yep.
Definitely. 6, you have The Simpsons.
Yep.
For sure. 5, you have Seinfeld.
Yep.
For sure. 4, you have Mad Men, I would think.
Yep.
It's in there?
Yeah.
Oh, when?
When they watch it. When they talk about how they're called, that's like what they call
the term for
it's in the earlier episode. Yeah.
Bastards. 3, now this one's a real questionable one, and I just rewatched the first couple episodes. 3 is Breaking Bad.
Well, so Jesse says, like, you've broken bad or something.
He says, you're just, all of a sudden, you're 40-year-old lamest dude I know, you're just going to break bad one day? So he pretty much says it, in, like, the first episode.
I don't think that counts.
Okay. 2 is The Wire, certainly, yep. They say it, and 1 is The Sopranos, certainly they say it.
Yeah. So, if I counted correctly, that is 25... out of 30, which is 83%.
All right. Settled.
Well,
you're a lot closer than Schwenk.
If you subscribe...
And you're closer than me.
If you subscribe to the Zardcast app, you can hear us go through all of the top 100 episodes or shows in TV history. It's $40 a month.
Yeah, but you get a lot more than that, too. You'll also... I usually record my commutes to work and I'm alone, so it's not that interesting, but you know, if someone cool sits next to me on the bus, I'll chat them up. So everyone, sure. Like once a week or so, you'll get some dialogue on there.
Sure. And you can listen to it when you're commuting and feel like you're commuting together.
Right. That's really the appeal of it, I think.
That's definitely worth $40 a month.
No question. All right. Gotta switch sound sources here real quick. Because it's time for a regular CT Schwenk approved segment, The Week in Wall.
Me, Ha, Washi, John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall, the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circus shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John.
All right, what do we got?
So really just these two games where he had 2 double-doubles. That was pretty typical John Wall stuff, but nothing really out of the ordinary that I could think of. What about you?
Yeah, he wasn't, you know, outstanding or anything this week. Extended, I think, doesn't he have a double-double streak that leads the league?
Yeah.
So he kept that going, which is good.
He's also got 40 double-doubles this year. Which is pretty good. I think it was, I don't want to mix them up. It was one of the Wizards blogs that pointed out that he has more double-doubles this year than Kyrie Irving does, or close to it in his whole career, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That really goes to show you what a great basketball player and person John Wall is, and what a kind of just pathetic... useless disgrace of a human Kyrie Irving is.
I'm not even sure I would say human, honestly.
Humanoid.
Yes.
Human-like beast. I don't know. There's not much for the weekend wall, but you can't not do it.
One thing I've been thinking about John Wall-wise. So he passed Gilbert Arenas for... 8th in franchise points last game, which is cool. So I was just thinking about, you know, the future of Wall with the team. do you know, and if you don't, I'm sure somebody that listens to this will know, you know, the designated player contract extension that he would be eligible for if he makes all NBA.
Are you asking, do I know exactly how that works?
Yes.
I think, isn't it, if you have to get it, is it one of the last 2 years before the contract up, or is it the last year?
No, it's not before the contract is up. It's the last year, like, before you sign the extension.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that he will be eligible for it, but I don't know if, I guess, I think my question is whether the Wizards can do it or not, like, cap-wise.
Oh.
And I feel like people don't talk about that, which maybe just means it's not an option, or I don't know.
That would be pretty great to lock him in for.
Yeah, so it would be 5 years. Yeah. So he would be in for the next two, and then three more after that.
That would be pretty great to have him in here.
Yeah.
Or to have Beal locked up for a while.
Yeah.
All we'd have to do is extend Otto, and there's your core. And that's a lot of money out there.
For sure.
And it limits what you can do otherwise, but, I mean, that's a pretty darn good young three core to work off of.
My other question, with, you know, 20 games left, do you think Wall will make an All-NBA team?
Yes.
I think so obviously you got Harden, Westbrook,
right.
Curry.
Right.
Chris Paul is normally there. He's missed a good amount of games, and I think he got hurt again the other day, didn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think it was serious.
Okay.
I think he's like day-to-day right now.
Okay. So there's Chris Paul it's Harden, Westbrook, Curry. They're getting three.
Right.
And then you have maybe Chris Paul, maybe Isaiah Thomas, DeMar DeRozan,
right.
Kyrie Irving.
I don't think Irving would get it.
I feel like there's no limit to what playing with LeBron can get you as far as... I mean, he won the All-Star vote among fans. I also think he was first in the media, or second maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. You think Lowry's no chance, missed because of this?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I think they'd give it to him over Thomas and Irving. I think it would probably go Harden, Westbrook, first team.
Yeah.
Curry, Paul, second team, and I think Wall, DeRozan, third. If it were, that would be what I would bet on.
I'm kind of nervous about it. I think that we might have to catch the Celtics in order for him to make it over Isaiah Thomas, because he also got a ton of just going by like the All-Star voting.
Yeah, and he was Player of the Month once, although right. That seemed like they were, I mean, he had a crazy month, but it almost seemed like they were like awarding him for how much bitching he did after Wall won.
Yeah, but I mean, if he's the best player on the two seed, that's like a pretty strong
right.
Scoring 30 points a game.
But the Clippers are going to end up being, what, 4-5?
Yeah.
So Wizards should be a higher seed, different conference, but...
I mean, I obviously think he'll deserve it.
Yeah.
And Wall, I mean, and I'm totally prepared to just really bitch about it for a long time if he doesn't.
Yeah. We can make it a whole segment.
That's like every episode.
The Week in Wine. We just whine about Wall.
And we'll pair it with like a new kind of wine that we're trying.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Mm-hmm. We should do that anyway. Just whine about, it doesn't have to be about that. Just a segment where we whine about stuff. I'll kick it off right now. I learned something today, but it kind of sounded like BS to me when I was told this. But then it does line up with my experience lately. I'm having a lot of trouble with my deodorant lately.
Okay.
I would always get the same brand, Old Spice Swagger, and it was very effective. I could put it on after my shower, and it would last, like, basically throughout the day. Maybe
and you do have a lot of swagger. Nobody denies that.
Yeah, and it's heightened by that deodorant. But then it ran out, and I needed some. So I just grabbed whatever from a store.
Mm.
And I didn't like it.
Okay.
But it was just, like, a small travel-size one. I used it till it was gone. It was very ineffective, and I didn't like the smell. But it was small, so I just used it till it was gone. Then I got another one, at a different store, just same thing. Like, I needed one, so I just grabbed one on the way home. They didn't have the Old Spice either, so I just grabbed a different thing. And it's not effective at all. It's not working at all. And it's like a Right Guard or something, like a pretty known brand. And I just stink. I put it on, a shower, I put it on, and like 3 hours later, I smell. And I like, even if I'm not doing anything. And I was thinking that it was, I'm getting just lousy deodorants. And then I was told by a coworker today that your body has to get used to a new deodorant. It has to, like, you have to adjust to a new deodorant and get used to it before it starts working, which sounded like nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like totally made up, like right. fake science, but it matches exactly what I've been experiencing.
So I agree. That sounds like fake science. I've got a couple questions. Did this come up because you said to the coworker, "I think I stink," or was your coworker like, "What's going on with your deodorant situation?"
I was reapplying in the proximity okay. of my coworker.
Okay.
And then said like something along the lines of like, "This stuff's terrible. I have to put it on like 3 times a day."
Well, have you heard the idea that like, and this seems pretty common sense, that like people that stink all the time just don't know that they stink, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's just that you're more aware of it because, and it just smells different to you, but there's really not any change. You're just smelling something different. So it's like a heightened awareness.
Maybe.
You should find someone that cares more about you as a person than I do to test it out and see and see how bad it truly smells or if it's just like really not a big deal.
My real concern now is if this is the case, what if I've, and I have to like readjust again, what if I've ruined my normal deodorant for myself? What if I go back and I get my Old Spice and it, the same thing is happening because I've gotten to the point where it doesn't work for me anymore.
This sounds like something that maybe Preacher B-Ball would know about, doesn't it?
He has a lot of knowledge on scientific things or just like stuff.
Yeah, he knows a lot of things. So Preach, please let us know.
Drop some deodorant knowledge on us.
And, you know, we'll have an update on this next week.
Yes, we will.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to go get the old one. Okay. I'm going to stop and buy my usual and hope that...
If you're worried it's not going to work anymore, you need to do that as soon as possible.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to take a break, go to CBS, and we'll be right back.
All right. What is our next segment? Is another Schwenk approved. We're going to run through the Eastern Conference standings, but we've got a guest here to do it. I'm going to step out because without Schwenk, we don't have enough microphones. So I'm going to pass this off to our good friend Sydney Melbourne, and he is going to do the standings with you, Dave.
Sydney, welcome.
Thanks for the microphone. Oh, hello, Dave.
Sydney, I didn't know you were going to be here. This is a surprise.
Had me hiding in his kitchen while you guys were starting up, and he said, "Don't come out until I say your name."
I didn't even see that you were in there.
But you know what? It's a great day.
Why? What's going on?
I am extremely excited, not just today, but for the last week or so, ever since my boy, my favorite player in the NBA, Andy Boygett, signed with the first place Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's right. You love Bogut. He's your countryman. So you're just excited he's on a good team now, huh?
I am so happy. I'm through the moon. I can't believe my man Andy Boygett signed with the Cavs. He gets to play with fellow kind of countryman Kyrie Irving.
So you came back to America just because you were excited about Bogut playing with the Cavs, maybe winning another ring.
Yes, I came here. I would love to see Andy win another ring. I also came here. I would like to publicly disown Kyrie.
Oh, really?
Over the flat Earth comments.
Australia doesn't stand behind that.
It's not. You can believe what you want to believe, but he's talking about the education system and everything, and he grew up in our country. I don't want him over here, you know, just talking willy-nilly about Australian education system and giving us a bad name. So he played for Team USA. Up until now, I've always wanted to claim him as Australian. He's yours. You can have him. He's yours again.
So would it be safe to say if Bogut hadn't joined the Cavaliers, you would really have no interest?
In the Eastern Conference standings?
Yeah.
I've tried to become a bigger NBA fan, but essentially no. Dellavedova, he's the Bucks. Bucks are outside the standings or outside the playoffs. So yeah, I think no. I think I wouldn't have much interest.
So the Cavs actually just played a little bit ago. I guess you didn't catch that game.
No, I was in a closet.
Well, I got to tell you, Sydney, Andrew Bogut played 58 seconds and broke his leg, and he's out for the season.
You're shitting me.
I'm unfortunately not shitting you.
You yank my tail.
I'm not yanking your tail, Sydney.
You're pulling my earlobes.
No, he took a knee to his shin, it looked like, and just cracked it, and he broke his tibia.
Oh, my. I can't believe it. What do we have a timetable on his return?
I would think it's got to be, a couple months at least.
Broken tibia. Yeah, sounds like it. Can't you just put a splint on it and get back out there?
You would think. I mean, the Australians are typically...
We're rugged.
Not as rugged as the New Zealanders, is what I hear.
I've seen Stephen Adams get his nuts hit in the playoffs and fall down like a little girl. Although I guess if a little girl got hit in the nuts, it wouldn't be as bothersome.
But yeah, so he's out. And I mean, how much did you spend on a plane ticket here?
It was $1,200.
Oof.
One way. I hadn't been able to find one back. I was kind of hoping Gary would put me up here a little bit.
You could probably stay in that closet, I would think. Talk to Gary. I don't have authority to offer you that, but...
Oh, man. Well, maybe I'll try to find some work. Stick around. I'm pretty good handyman. Maybe I could work for that app that I did the read for the one time, Handy.
They were actually really dissatisfied with that read, so I don't think that's
going to work. Son of a bitch. Everything's turning up poop. Well, I did come here for a reason. Gary asked me if I could do the Eastern Conference standings. I guess I should have pulled them up. All right, here we go. Eastern Conference standings. We got the suddenly Bogutless Cleveland Cavaliers in first. 2.5 games behind them, we've got the Celtics. 2 games behind them, 4.5 from the Cavs. You've got your Washington Wizards. Game back of them, 5.5 back of the Cavs. You've got Toronto. Then it's Atlanta, Indiana, Detroit, and Chicago. Miami now just 1.5 games out of the playoffs. And looking like they're going to make it. What do you think? Here's a fun game. I like these games you've been doing tonight, so I got another one for you. I'm going to name each of the teams in the East. I want you to spitball. Immediate thought. Least favorite player on the team and why.
Okay.
All right, starting with Chicago.
Dwayne Wade.
And why?
I think he's kind of a dirty player. I still think he broke Rondo's elbow on purpose, and then he kicked Ramon Sessions in the dick that one time, and I didn't like that.
Seems rude. Detroit.
Reggie Jackson.
Elaborate.
Because he got paid John Wall money, and then John Wall commented on it, and everyone got upset with him, and so I blame Reggie for that.
All right. Indiana.
Monte Ellis.
I can see that. Now
I
why?
I just don't particularly like him. I don't think he's very good.
Yeah. Atlanta.
Dwight Howard, for sure. I could go on and on about Dwight Howard, really. He just seems like a real dickhead. Nobody likes him pretty much wherever he goes. That famous interview, you remember when... You might not have gotten this on Australia, but Stan Van Gundy was...
We get most television from America. It just airs back to front. and all the writing is right to left.
Well, then you saw Dwight Howard walk up and hug Stan Van Gundy right before Stan Van Gundy said that Dwight Howard was trying to get him fired. And so it was all seemed very disingenuous on his part.
Hmm. Toronto.
Valanciunas. I just think he's kind of a big lug that isn't very good. I really don't like anyone on the Raptors, but he's probably my least favorite.
All right, Washington, let's throw a twist. Who would you say good riddance to? No longer a wizard.
Trey Burke, maybe. I don't have anything against him personally.
Still a wizard.
You mean somebody that isn't on the team yeah. anymore? Oh, okay. Andrew Nicholson, Nick Young, Andre Blatch. I really don't like Gilbert Arenas as a person. He's become a pretty awful guy. So any of them, really.
All right. Boston.
Marcus Smart.
That was one I was wondering if you – because it could have been him. It could have been Jay Crowder. But Marcus Smart. Seems like the right choice.
He's pretty dirty.
And finally,
big flopper.
Finally, Cleveland.
It would have been Bogut. I don't know if you can really count him on the team anymore.
I'll pretend I didn't hear that.
Not just because he's from Australia. He's also a pretty dirty player. Says a lot of dumb stuff. And then he's the only one that I really don't like on the team, I think.
Well, all right. There you have it, your Eastern Conference standings. I'm going to hand the microphone back off to Gary, climb into his closet, and hope he doesn't notice that I'm there.
Thanks for coming, Sydney. I'm sorry that this ended up being such an expensive disappointment for you.
I'm sorry, too. That's pretty much seems like every time I come to the podcast, it's been an expensive disappointment. But I guess I'll keep showing up.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have anything better to do. Let's be honest.
I don't. All right. Ciao. All right. Thanks. Thanks, Sydney.
I feel bad for that guy.
I mean, he's spent a lot of money getting here.
And it seems like he doesn't have anything going on. And he gets real hyped about stuff he doesn't know anything about.
Yeah. Should have asked him about that dingo fight. I wonder how that went. He seemed like he was limping. I wonder if that was related.
I feel like had the dingo fight gone well, he would have brought it up.
That's a good point. All right. What we got here on this little outline I made? Yeah, Schwenk. I made an outline.
And it's in a much larger and bolder font than you use.
Yeah, and it takes up a lot less pages. All right. Okay, I got one here marked general NBA talk. I don't know, that could be anything, but one of the things, you saw the silent first half the Knicks did?
Yes.
Thoughts?
I don't really care about that. I never understand, like, I think when people gripe, they're like, they play all the music, and like, I don't understand the, and I also totally don't understand Draymond Green saying it was disrespectful to not play it. That's just not something I could really have an opinion on. I think it's a cool idea. I didn't watch it. I didn't really care about it. Did you watch it?
I actually did watch it, but I was at work and just had it on my desk on mute.
So did they have the announcers going?
I don't know.
Because I think that would be an interesting experiment. Just play a game without any...
I think that's what it was. I think it said only the sounds of the game, which would make me think... Like nothing but shoes squeaking, ball bouncing,
right,
et cetera.
That would be more interesting. I thought it was just in the arena they weren't playing that stuff.
Yeah.
Like the music and the...
So to me, I don't think it was that cool. A lot of people were acting like it was a really cool thing. Just imagine, think about going to like... Lately a lot of the Wizards games have been pretty lively. Mm-hmm. Think about going to a Wizards game... If it were early in the season when they're doing poorly,
yeah,
and maybe they were hosting the Magic, and they're not playing any music or doing any between, like during timeout, like any of the entertainment stuff,
yeah,
that would be a miserable environment.
Yeah, it would. I feel like it would be awkward almost.
Yeah,
like really uncomfortable for everybody.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that cool. And then on Twitter, like a lot of people were like, "This is great." I know Frank Isola was like talking about how it should be, and other sports writers of his ilk were all about it. I didn't really get it.
That's definitely right up like a old, like,
yeah.
I missed the old days, but I honestly am not sure I would have noticed if it was like in at Madison Square. If I went to a different arena and was like, oh, this is, I would probably just not even notice.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it depends on the announcer. If they weren't announcing who scored or anything at all,
that's true.
That'd be noticeable for sure. I wonder if they were. Who knows? No one could ever possibly have the answer to that question.
Nope. Lost.
Lost to time.
Mm-hmm.
Lost to just the 20,000 people who were there.
Yeah,
and I think they were sworn to secrecy.
Yeah, and they weren't even allowed to record it. So
right, because it could make noise. the shutter on the cameras, high speed shutters. What else? Any other? What general NBA things? What happenings do we have?
So did we do our last episode? When did we know that Kevin Durant was out with that knee injury when we did our last episode? I feel like that's obviously the most significant thing that's happened recently.
Yeah, we did because we talked to
oh, that's right.
Connor about it, and actually he was kind of downplaying it, which not downplaying, but he was saying, you know, he's of the opinion it's not that.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't. I mean, it not like end of the world kind of thing.
Yeah. My whole thing is just if. So last year, the Warriors set the record, regular season wins. Curry gets hurt in the first round, comes back. He's saying over and over again, I'm full strength, I'm good.
Right.
You know, his teammates are saying that, his coach is saying that. But it's clear to a lot of analysts and even just, like, people just watching that he's not really fully back. They go on and lose.
Right.
And then now, post-loss, a lot of people say, you know, if he had never slipped on that wet spot, Warriors might be champions. I mean, why? I think it's a bigger deal, not, like, they're doomed without Durant or something like that, but and he's coming back in what it was 4 to 6 weeks, so he'll be back. But if he's limited, it could be a big deal.
Yeah, it's always crazy. It really annoyed me at the beginning of the year, even throughout the year. People were like, "Oh, the NBA sucks now. You never know, or you know exactly who's going to be in the finals." It's like, have you ever watched a season and not seen like a major? You know, an injury happens, a team, like, drastically underperforms. I don't understand that idea that Warriors were always going to make the finals.
Yeah, even last year, everyone was... I mean, it wasn't as talked about how it was pre-decided, but everyone expected preseason for it to be Cavs-Warriors again, and the Cavs had a really easy path and made it there, but Warriors were down 3-1 right. Conference finals, you know. They had to really do some wild stuff to make it in. Yeah, it's probably. I don't know if there's been any other major happenings.
Speaking of slipping on a wet spot, did you see that they had to postpone the Blazers Timberwolves game tonight?
I did see that.
The ice was melting onto the court.
Yeah, second time this season that's happened. Happened with the Sixers earlier in the year.
That makes me a little happy just to think, like, the guy who came up with it, the engineer that was just like. They're trying to figure out, well, how can we play hockey and basketball in the same arena? And this guy was very smugly like, we'll just put the court over the ice. And they're like, how can that work? And he was like, trust me, I know. And now he doesn't know because they fucked it up. So I hope that guy's somewhere.
Yeah.
Really revisiting everything he thinks he knows.
He's probably in a pretty dark place right now.
He's got to be.
I would imagine, you know... if you know that guy, if you're listening and you know that guy, reach out. He probably needs you now more than ever.
Yeah. He's probably going back through all his old calculations. Like, he probably built a bridge somewhere and is like, what if I did all of this wrong?
Yeah. He's checking every fulcrum he's ever placed anywhere. So he needs us.
He needs you.
Well, that's a perfect lead in. we've got one other kind of game here type thing. Not a game at all, really. But friend of the pod, he's been on once several years ago for the hot dog eating contest. Friend of the pod, J. Michael Corain. I asked him if he wanted to write a short play or scene relating to the Wizards for us to read on Zardcast. And he did. He was like, yeah, I have a thesis to do this weekend. I'll see. Maybe I'll have time. Yeah, I think I should have time. And like 40 minutes later, he sent me back three more. What was this? Five type pages. So I think we're just going to go ahead and act it out. Now, this play is called A Whitman's Tale, inspired by former coach Randy Whitman. All right, scene. It's nighttime at a sports bar in downtown Washington, D.C. Fans of the Washington Wizards crowd the TVs as the team is about to defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Amid the clusters of exuberant fans, Randy Whitman sits alone at the bar. Bartender to Whitman. Another Cosmo, sir? Whitman.
No thanks, Jeff. I think I've had enough.
Are you sure? We just got in a new shipment of Rudy Tooty Fruity Cranberry Vodka, your favorite.
Really? Well, maybe just one more.
The TV blares with the sounds of the end of the game. TV announcer. And there it is! The Washington Wizards have defeated LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're headed for the NBA Finals! The crowd cheers wildly. On the TV broadcast, the floor announcer finds John Wall among the celebrating Wizards players. Announcer. John, you had 62 points and 20 assists tonight. Absolutely embarrassing Kyrie Irving and ending the debate once and for all as to who is the better player. How did you do it?
You know, I have to give thanks to my teammates. They were opening up lanes for me and knocking down their shots all night. But really, I have to give credit to our amazing coach, Scott Brooks. This year, man, it's been such a breath of fresh air to have a coach who knows how to get the most out of us, who just knows how to win. He's taught us what it's all about, working hard and having a commitment to f***ing playing defense. I never had that instilled in me before Scotty got here. Sorry for cursing. I just love that man so much. I love you, Scotty. I love you.
Back at the bar, Randy slides his empty glass away from him. Whitman to Jeff the bartender, shouting over the din of the celebrating bar crowd.
You know what? Scratch that last Cosmo, Jeff. Thanks anyways. Just the check.
Yeah, Randy. Problem with that. I just ran your card and it's declined.
What? Someone else picked up my tab? Great. Thanks, Jeff.
Randy hurries to put his jacket on and leave the bar, but before he can leave, he is approached by three drunken fans. Fan number one grabs Whitman by the shoulders and looks into his eyes.
Wizards!
Woohoo! We're gonna live forever!
Fan number three vomits uncontrollably. Randy tries to get around these drunken hooligans, but it's too late. Jeff, the bartender, has alerted the bouncer of Whitman's attempts to leave. The bouncer approaches Whitman menacingly.
Shit.
A couple of hours later, Whitman walks out the back door of the bar, having just completed a humiliating shift of dishwashing to pay for his drinks. Rudy Tooty Fruity Cranberry Vodka is not cheap. He wanders aimlessly around the streets of D.C., past a giant billboard of Otto Porter Jr. that reads, Meet the NBA's Most Improved Player, past a bookstore with dozens of copies of Marcin Gortat's number one New York Times bestseller, From Foreign Occupations to My First Three Seasons with the Wizards, Horrors Visit Upon the Polish People, 1939 to 2016. A car drives past Whitman and splashes him with water. It hasn't rained in D.C. for several days, so it's unclear where the standing water came from, and frankly, it's quite concerning. Whitman presses on, eventually finding himself outside the Verizon Center, where fans are still gathered celebrating the Wizards' historic victory. Some players are even outside by the gate signing autographs. Whitman spots Bradley Beal, and his face lights up with the recognition of an old friend.
Brad! Brad!
Whitman pushes through the crowd, which is happy to let him through. Whatever he got splashed with smells like death. He makes his way all the way up to Brad.
Brad! Oh, thank God. It's so good to see you.
Whoa, hey there. Are you looking for an autograph? Want me to sign your piss-covered shirt?
What? No. No, it's not piss. Well, I don't think it is.
No worries, man. Just tell me who to make it out to.
No, Brad, it's me. It's me.
Whitman smiles desperately, hoping to jog Brad's memory. Oh, yeah, it's you. Ricky, right? Yeah, man, used to travel with us. You were like the video coordinator or something, right? What happened to you? We going to the ship, baby. How'd you miss out on this?
No, it's me, Randy.
Hey, Ricky, don't you still owe John money from one of our cross-country poker games? Hey, John, look who it is. Ricky's here, and he's got your money. As Brad turns to get John's attention, Whitman slinks back into the crowd and walks back through the streets, past Wizard fans cheering and kissing and reveling in the night. Suddenly, from an alley, someone pops out. Voice. Hello, Randy. Startled, Whitman slowly realizes that the individual is none other than Chris Humphreys.
Chris, what are you doing here?
Same thing as you, Randy. The wizards got rid of me. I've been stepped on, cast aside.
Yeah, I was there when that happened. We got Markeef in that deal. Pretty solid, actually.
Silence! I was traded to the Suns, Randy. The Suns! There are some things in the life a man cannot forgive. I'm back in town to exact my revenge.
Wait, aren't you playing for the Hawks now? Won't they notice you're gone?
No. Dwight made an Instagram post where he said Donald Glover was just aight, so I have about 3 days until the media notices anything else.
Freaking Dwight. What an idiot. Atlanta perfectly dramatized the modern hip-hop aesthetic. I haven't seen it, but I've read an article in the Post.
Right. Anyway, what do you say, Randy? Do you want to help me take down the Wizards organization? They wronged you and you wronged me. Let's make things right, together. Whitman looks deep into Chris Humphreys' eyes and thinks about all the pain he has endured, all the humiliation he has suffered. And he ponders Humphrey's offer, which will require real commitment, sacrifice, and trust in the other person. But in the end, it could mean unfathomable satisfaction.
Nah, I'm good.
Cool, cool. All right, then.
Yep.
Want a party?
Hell yeah.
Time has passed. It is now daytime. The bright morning sun washes over Randy Whitman, who finds himself waking up under a bridge. Every part of his body aches, and he has a blinding headache. He hears a voice. Randy, Randy, wake up. Through his blurred vision, Whitman can see that a figure is standing over him, but he can't make out who it is. The voice sounds like the human embodiment of old, expired soup. Randy, thank God I found you. Your country needs you. As the figure standing above Whitman slowly begins to take shape, he realizes it is none other than Donald J. Trump, the President of the United States. I've been watching you, Randy, and I just want to say I think you are tremendous, really just tremendous. You've been a great basketball coach, bigly.
Thank you, sir.
You remind me a lot of myself, in fact. Lately, you've been dealing with a lot of negativity from the haters and losers, but you haven't let it get you down.
I think I maybe did crystal meth last night.
You have the kind of vision that I need in my administration. I promised the American people we would start winning again, so much that they'd get sick of winning. So I'm putting together a department of winning, and I thought, I have to get Randy Whitman for this.
I don't know what to say, sir. I'm honored. Who else will be in the department?
Well, we'll be headed by Isaiah Thomas.
Obviously.
Besides that, so far we have Mark Jackson, Jeff Fisher, the producers of La La Land, and Jared from Subway. Fred Durst is a maybe.
Well, sir, it sounds like a great opportunity, but I have to be honest. My financial situation is kind of a mess. I'm not sure I could get through a Senate confirmation process.
Wait, do you owe a lot of money to the Russian government?
No, just the credit agencies.
Damn, I almost got really excited there for a minute. Well, I guess you can't win them all. Eh, Randy? Randy looks at Trump with a knowing smile. Then they both laugh and throw their arms around each other. Freeze frame. There you go. A Whitman's Tale. Thanks, Mike. I think that was, That might have happened. I asked Mike to write us a fictional play, but that might have went down.
It sounded really true to life. Especially the dialogue and how it was performed, I thought was really, really impressive.
Yeah. I almost didn't even realize I was speaking at one point. I thought I was Chris Humphreys for a moment there.
Schwenk, this is what happens when you go to an anime convention.
All right. We can be winding down here, but we should take a look at the week ahead for the Wizards. So they've got five probably before the next time we'll pod.
This
even
is
with Schwenk back in town. I still don't think I think all five of these will probably have happened before we do our next pod.
This is a first for us. Five games.
Five is a lot. We've got Tuesday in Phoenix, Wednesday in Denver, Friday in Sacramento, Saturday in Portland, so 4 and 5 right there. That's a lot. And then they get Sunday off but play Monday in Minnesota. All these teams absolutely beatable.
Mm-hmm.
but five on the road in 7 days
right.
is a lot.
And other than Sacramento, all those teams can be kind of scrappy. I mean, the Suns just beat the Celtics last night. The Nuggets are a different team with Jokic at the helm. The Kings are probably just going to be pooped no matter what. But obviously the Blazers got Lillard and McCollum. They can outscore anybody. And then the Timberwolves have been pretty good recently, haven't they?
Yeah, T-Wolves have a winning record over the last month or so. Denver might also. They're definitely, even if not winning, they're putting up a million points every
right.
night.
And it's always tough to play in Denver.
Right. What do you think?
My gut says 5-0. If I want to be realistic, I think if we could go 3-2 here, that would be a win.
Yeah. I think 3-2 is likely. Like, I don't think they would lose more than they win. And I think they've got a real good shot at getting 4. 5-0 seems unlikely. I don't.
If we go 5-0 here, we're winning 50 games. That 2 seed is definitely up for grabs.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is like you could, like, no, none of the wins would surprise me at all.
Yeah. I mean, it would just take
such focus, really.
Yeah. But, hey, I mean, it could happen.
Yeah, certainly could. Hey, it could happen. Name that old commercial.
Depends.
The underwear, or are you saying it depends how I'm using it?
I'm saying the underwear.
That would be a hilarious tagline for them. No, that's from the old McDonald's ones when they would do If Kids Ruled the World.
Okay.
If Kids Ruled the World.
Yep, I remember that. And then at the end, the kid would thoughtfully be like, hey, it could happen. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I think that's about it for basketball. What do you got for Pop Culture Detour? What do you got for... I don't have the soundboard plugged in. I can't play the noise. Oh, well. Oh. We can just jump into it anyway.
I'm still watching The Expanse. I'm very into The Expanse now. It's gotten better and better. It might be a little dry at the beginning if you're trying to get into it. But it is a good sci-fi show if you're into that kind of thing. I like that. Have you seen that new Pete Holmes show on
That's
HBO?
Good. Crashing. I didn't watch last night's, but I've seen the other two.
I haven't either. So we're on the same page there. But I like that. Oh, I also started watching, I don't think I talked about this last week, Rectify. Have you heard of that?
Mm-mm.
It's about this guy who's like a real intense creep because he's just been released from prison after 20 years. He was put in prison for rape and murder when he was like 17. And he's just been cleared because of some mix-up in the DNA evidence. And so he's trying to, like, reintegrate back into his family in, like, rural, or I guess, I don't know if it's rural, but in the south in Georgia. And everyone in the town hates him, and he's got, like, this stepbrother that's vying against him. It's pretty good. I just finished the first season.
Nice. I actually did consider starting up The Expanse earlier this week because I think they put the first season on Amazon. I don't know. I passed it somewhere. I don't know if it was Netflix or Amazon or what, but I came across it, and I did consider starting it, but I ended up starting Billions instead.
Mm. Is that who's in that?
It's Paul Giamatti and dude from Homeland.
The red-haired guy?
Yeah.
They're like good?
The two main characters and opposing forces. It's okay. I haven't decided if I like it or not. I'm 3 episodes in. I'm before the in or out moment for myself.
Yeah.
There's some issues I have with it, mainly that in the first episode, the billionaire is the Homeland guy.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Giamatti is a prosecutor, and just trying to decide if he wants to go after him or not. And he's saying it'd be too hard because he's too adored by the public. But then they find out that the billionaire is considering buying this like $80 million house. And they're like, oh, that's what we need. Nobody likes people who buy stuff. which I thought was like a pretty weak premise.
Right.
Because then that's what happens. Like, he makes that purchase and they're like, all right, let's get him.
Really?
Yeah.
So people...
And in the show, so he makes that purchase and he's like on the cover of the New York Post the next day. Like, look at this jerk. Which...
So people liked him when he was a billionaire, but then they didn't
they
like
loved
him when
him.
He actually
he was like real
it.
Philanthropic.
I see.
And like, yeah, I don't know. That seemed like a weak entry point for me, but we'll see. I like it so far, I guess.
Paul Giamatti is pretty good.
Yeah, he is good. It's got the woman, I don't know the actress's name, but she's been on Mad Men, Sons of Anarchy, she's Tara on Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah. I don't know her name either. She's good, though.
Yeah, and she's good in this, too. And then it's got Malin Ackerman, is in it. And she's not in
it
that much.
Is it, like, funny, or is it just a drama?
No, just drama. Oh. And then, of course, episode 4 of Legion was, like, probably my favorite one yet.
I'm a little not sold on Legion.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I feel definitely an uncommon... viewpoint. I don't know. It just hasn't like hooked me yet.
So the first one I loved, and then the second one and third one I like wasn't as into, and then the fourth one, like when it ended, I was like pissed that it wasn't a binge watch show. I was like mad that I didn't have another one to watch right then.
Maybe you should just wait until the end of the season and then watch the rest.
Nah.
Gary.
Yeah? Huh? I think I fell asleep there. yeah. Anyways, I think that's all I got.
How do you think we did without Schwenk?
I mean, I think we killed it.
I think so, too. What I'm really trying to figure out now is, do we send this, like, directly to a talent agency? Is that what we do?
Probably. We just... Yeah. Do we do it? We put it on a cassette.
Mm-hmm.
We send it to local radio stations.
Yes.
Howard would want it. Stern, of course.
Right.
We could probably become running guests on his show. I don't know. Well, who are the local guys? Let's get on. DC. 101.5, the oldies.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
We could probably use the Wolf Blitzer Wizards connection.
Mm-hmm. Get us some CNN action.
Right.
Some NPR exposure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We can go on an all-out media Wolf Blitz. All right. For me, Gary, and Dave, and Schwenk off in Japan... That was Zardcast. I didn't say it in the beginning because if you're already listening, you probably know how to listen. But, you know, catch us everywhere. Listen to Zardcast on Amazon Prime, Hulu, Netflix. We're part of ABPN. That's the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. And they can be found on, I think, HBO Go and Stars and probably Crackle. So... Yeah, we're everywhere. And if you're already listening, you already know. So, see you next week. By then, Schwenk will be back and he'll have us back in line. Till then, for David, for me, see you later.
Napa Know How.
The Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolor paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.